Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the third and final hour of the last show before Easter. Of course, Easter Sunday is tomorrow. Christmas is a big day in the Christian calendar, but it's second to Easter, and we're going to be talking about that this hour. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everybody. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday, March 30th, and coming to you live from our flagship AM radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're going to put politics partially aside. I mean, we can never truly separate our politics from our faith, and I think that's one of our enduring attributes. Primarily tonight, we're going to be talking about Easter and what it means to me, what it means to Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is hosting the third and final for me, or with me, I should say, taking the spot of Keith Alexander. And at the end of the show, we're going to be hearing from my very own pastor tonight with an Easter message. But when you're talking about Easter, I want to read a statement that I wrote a few years ago, and I keep reposting it every year, because if it was true then, or if I believed it to be true then, I certainly believe it to be true now. And this is what I came up with, Eddie. Easter is the weekend where most of the Christian world commemorates what is the pivotal point in all of history, the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Imagine what it must have felt like for his mother, disciples, and the small band of family and friends to watch as he agonizingly gasped for air on the cross. What was going through their minds as they witnessed the most unspeakable act of injustice the world has ever seen unfold right before their eyes? And how often do we find ourselves lamenting the slow grinding death of our nation, our culture, our very flesh and blood kinsmen in this degenerate age? At our gatherings, we recount horror upon horror as we feel our way of life slipping from our grasp. At the very darkest of hours, we must remember the words spoken so long ago at the empty tomb. He is not here. He is risen. To the degree that those words resonate in our hearts, they strike fear in the hearts of our enemies. The more we take them to heart, the more those who oppose us lose heart. They know instinctively what we too easily forget. It only takes one. We don't have to take over the Republican Party or the media, and we don't have to outnumber them. It only takes one. It can happen because it did happen, and he promised that he would do even greater things. We would do even greater things than he, because he would be working through us. Now, I ask you to take the time to ponder that promise and have a blessed and happy Easter. With that, Eddie, I turn it over to you, because I know this was a very special and important segment that you wanted to be a part of.
I appreciate that, James. I have been looking forward to being on this program right before Easter. James, as you well know, I became a Christian 2 months before my 62nd birthday, which was February the 8th of 2009. And since then, I think my faith has grown stronger every year. And just about everybody that knows me knows that. They've noticed a big change in me. And Easter has been really, really a big thing for me since then. And you mentioned, James, that how important Christmas is. But I know it's an old cliche with all the old line ministers that haven't deserted, the true Christianity yet. If Jesus never rose from the grave, then all else was no good. It'd be meaningless. I've heard one pastor say that even if he knew that there was no heaven and that the grave was the end, he said he would still be a Christian because of the benefits that comes from a Christian life. And I subscribe to that too, but there's no doubt in my mind, James, that there is a hereafter. And if you want me to, I can tell you about some of the things the cesspool's doing. One of the things the cesspool's doing, I'm a co-host of the cesspool. I have my own little ministry going on downtown in the Midtown in Memphis and downtown. I go down to the area of town where a lot of people would be called the dregs of society hang out. And I pick a few of these people up. I've had to put it on the back burner recently, and I'll tell you why in a minute, why I've had to slow that down. But I go down, and I find these people that are poor and down and out on their luck. And you see a lot of people that are have mental problems now. We used to call them retarded in the olden days, but we can't call them retarded anymore because that's politically incorrect. But a lot of them are retarded. Some of them just have mental illness, not schizophrenic so much, but they have all types of mental issues. And I try to take them and get them something to eat. I take them to nice restaurants get them a nice hot meal. And when they're through, James, as you well know, if they're willing, I try to witness to them. I try to tell them about how my conversion to Christianity came about. It's a miraculous conversion. It happened in a microsecond. It was almost like a lightning bolt hit me when it happened. And I never dreamed it would happen to me. I didn't think it could. I used to did not like Christians. I didn't like church people. I especially didn't like Baptists. And now I go to a Baptist church. As a matter of fact, I used to go out of my way to insult the Baptist minister who is of the church where my grandson's getting ready to graduate from school. I won't mention the name. Might embarrass him. But I used to go out of my way to insult him. Here I am now down in Midtown taking these people to get to eat. Now, I have two restaurants sponsoring me. I won't mention their name either because they might not like that. But I have two restaurants sponsoring me that will let me bring people in. They said, I've used my own judgment, if they're really and truly hungry, they'll bring them in, give them a meal, and I can testify to Christ for them and try to bring them around. And I try to point them to other areas in the city. For instance, we have the Church Health Center here in Memphis, and they minister, they give top-notch medical care to the to down and out. And I'll tell you people something else, too. I've been there on the streets. I came up a lot different from most of you people. I'm not crying in my milk, but, you know, my mother left me when I was 8 years old. I came home from school one day, and all the furniture was gone. And, you know, I'm not too smart, but I knew something was up with all the furniture gone. And my dad was on the road all the time. He was a heavy drinker and alcoholic. And so, you know, I was always one step away from the gutter. Even to this day, I know that me and James here, we're one day away from the gutter, people. We could have a depression. We could have some type of catastrophic health problems. We could lose everything we have. And people are doing that every day. So, listen, I've learned something the hard way. Do not ever look down your nose at somebody on the street. You never know what situation they have come from. We have many people that have come from, you know, really wealthy families that have down on their luck. Things have happened out of their control, and they just can't help it. And sometimes God, I tell you what, sometimes God will use that. He will take you and rub your nose in the dirt to get your attention. He did mine in the past, James. But not to make it sound like we're evangelical Christians here, because we really are. We are Christians here, And James mentioned earlier that we don't want to go too heavy on the preaching and acting like we're evangelical Christians here because we don't want to seem like hypocrites. But I can guarantee you we're not. I know I feel what I feel. And we'll get back to you. I think we're coming to a break, folks. I'm getting ready to turn you back over to James.
Well, I said earlier in the show, Eddie, we don't separate our politics from our faith. We're unabashedly pro-white and paleo-conservative, and we are distinctly Christian. And those two things don't contradict themselves. I know, unfortunately, a lot of non-believers now view Christians as meek and feeble and ineffective and even feminine. And I understand that because I see a lot of the apostasy in a lot of the denominations now, and I can understand why people who don't know better would think that. But there is a such thing as a Christian soldier. I believe that we are that. To the best of our ability. I mean, we're going to take a break and continue with more right after this. Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. Please don't understand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Now, As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Easter Sunday is tomorrow. And as we mentioned, this is a Christian radio program. We don't hide that candle under a bushel. It's a political talk show, so we mostly talk politics on this show. But when asked, or perhaps when not even prompted, we do want to make mention of our faith as well, because the fact of the matter is, folks, Western civilization, Christianity was the building block of Western civilization. Everything good that has come from Western civilization in the so-called common era has come under the banner of Christianity. And, you know, I look around and I know that we have some folks who don't share our faith in the audience, and that's fine. You know, as I've said often, I would much rather share a foxhole with some of our non-believers than I would some of these watered down and weak Christians. But the apostasy in the church is not God's fault. Men lead up the church, and men are fallible. And it seems as though you go to church some days, and the message is, in order to get to heaven, you have to intermarry, donate funds to Israel, and volunteer for a mission in the Congo. And that's not it. Those things aren't necessarily evil. You can be benevolent to people who don't look like you and aren't from our culture, don't share our beliefs politically. And that doesn't make you a bad person. I believe anyone can come through Christ and receive salvation. And there's nothing wrong with outreach to third world nations, to sub-Saharan African nations. There's nothing wrong with that on its face. But I just wonder, though, with all of these churches, in Bellevue, for instance, the biggest Southern Baptist church in the world, which is located here in Memphis, they're doing outreach all the time. And it always, without exception, is to non-white countries. I mean, aren't poor, impoverished children in Romania and some of the Eastern European countries that suffered under communism, aren't they worthy of outreach too? So, you know, these are things that I have problems with. And I know a lot of people out there have problems with it as well. That's the fault of the modern day church. That's not the fault of the faith itself. That's not the fault of Jesus Christ. They have allowed political correctness to influence themselves way too much. You look at what's going on, Eddie, at Florida Atlantic University. I told you about that earlier in the week. We covered it at the top of the show tonight. The students had to write the name of Jesus on their paper and stomp on it. and this was something that the teacher instructed them to do. It came out of the teacher's manual. No churches got out in the streets and bothered to protest that. They went inside the churches of a couple of, or inside the offices of pastors at a couple of churches there near the campus. And of course, in the privacy of the pastor's office, he said, yeah, I don't think that's a good thing. You know, that's insensitive. But none of these pastors, none of these churches, not one church anywhere in the country, rose up and went down there and fought back. There is a such thing as a Christian soldier. And I'll tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen. There's a such thing as a righteous anger and a righteous intolerance. God is intolerant of sin, abortion, homosexuality. I know a lot of Christians are backsliding on homosexuality now. Well, we can't, you know, be politically incorrect. You know, we're gonna start trimming ourselves here. Well, there is a righteous indignation. You should be intolerant of evil. And Hutton Gibson had a great quote on it. I'll try to find it and we'll get to it. But where are the Christian soldiers, Eddie? You don't have to believe in everything that we say politically to be a Christian. God knows. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. We have certain political beliefs that we don't think run contrary to our faith, but you don't have to believe in everything that we say politically to be a Christian. But you can be a Christian soldier. You don't have to be a weak, effeminate sissy boy in order to be a Christian. And unfortunately, most Christian spokespeople today are exactly that. Christian soldiers, Eddie, your thought?
Well, God hates feminism. You know, as a matter of fact, James, the you know, the sin of homosexuality in the Bible is described as an abomination in the eyes of God. And you mentioned politics and religion. Well, I'll tell you, James, religion is politics. Politics is religion. Every martyr in the Bible, just about everyone I can think of, including Meshach and Abednego, you know, all the saints were killed, including John the Baptist. They were killed for political reasons because they were protesting against the government. And another thing, too, you're so right. You do not have to be, you don't have to integrate. You don't have to marry a black. You don't have to have sexual relations with a black to be a Christian. That's totally unchristian. You know, the whole history of the Israelites in the Old Testament, all, you know, was one of segregation. God kept them segregated from all the other races and all the other tribes. Jacob that sent his son, you know, sent his servant off to get a wife. Isaac that sent his servant off to his kindred. He said he wanted a wife for his son, Jacob, because he didn't want him to interbreed with the different races. But James, like I said, you talked about our country being in such a crappy shape. One of the most atheistic, the person who's supposed to be an atheist, one of the founding fathers, I'll read you a quick statement. He said, Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. That's a guy who's supposed to be an atheist. Well, like I said, James, everything is political. In our church, I just told my pastor, Brother Way Webb, here at the Macon Road Baptist Church 2 days ago, that the country is more screwed up than it has been ever in the history of the country. You can't think of anything that's not gone to hell. And I said, Brother Wayne, the problem, the blame can be laid squarely on the door of the churches because we do not get out in society. We don't go out and protest anything. For instance, they're always moaning and bitching, carrying on about abortion. And I said, well, why don't we go down and picket the abortion clinics? Why don't we go down here and raise holy hell? Why don't we do something about it? And you know what their answer is? Well, you know, we tried that. It didn't work. And here's what they say. And here's what they told me. If it's any consolation, these children that are murdered in the wombs like that are killed, they're going to go to heaven instantly. Well, that doesn't really do me a lot of good. You know, I got to say one more thing. And I've told people that, that's something I probably won't get into that because y'all people take it the wrong way. But, you know, I've said, if we're coming up in church parking lot, we see a couple of people in the parking lot being beat down and raped, wouldn't you defend them, James? I mean, or they'll say, well, two rights don't make a wrong. But, James.
I was going to say, Eddie, and you're right about that. Some of the things we're talking about are non-salvational issues. So, folks, I would encourage you to check your Bibles and come to your own conclusion about that. But with regards to tolerance, and that is today's state religion, political correctness, tolerance of everything except, well, Hutton Gibson has the best quote on it. Here's what he said. Mel Gibson's father, who's been a repeat guest on our show, "Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society," he said. "When an immoral society has blatantly and proudly violated all the commandments, it insists upon one last virtue, tolerance for its immorality. It will not tolerate condemnation of its perversions. It creates a whole new world in which only the intolerant critic of intolerable evil is evil." That is short and sweet and to the point.
Yes, it is.
And I applaud him for that. You know, Eddie, a lot of these so-called churches now have homosexual ministers. You know, it's one thing to turn a blind eye to it and to not speak out about it because you know you're going to be called a bigot or a homophobe or a whatever because you adhere to God's law with regards to that. But to pretend to be a church and have homosexual and lesbian ministers, I just don't get that. And Eddie, with regards to your outreach, and again, it goes back, yes, everyone should be ministered to. You minister to all people. When you run for St. Jude, children of all races get helped, and even in your street ministries. It's not always whites that are the beneficiaries, but you don't exclude the whites, and a lot of these churches do. We'll be back with more right after this.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Talking about Easter, what it means to us, what it means for everyone. My pastor is going to be on deck for the final segment of the night. But again, we don't separate who we are politically from who we are spiritually. Obviously, we work here on this radio program on the political end of the spectrum, but we're also active members of our churches. And I know from time to time, Eddie, you, along with others here on the staff, struggle with that, to reconcile it, because the churches are seemingly so scared of their own shadows. I want to talk, have you talk, Eddie, about, of course, everyone knows about your work politically, but talk to the audience about some of the things you're trying to implement in your church and how relatively milquetoast it is compared to some of the things we do elsewhere on the show, for instance. And some of the resistance you're getting there and how you reconcile it all.
I'm glad you brought that up, James, because I had totally forgotten about that. That's one of my prides. Recently, my pastor at Macon Road Baptist here in Memphis, he started what he called kind of like a radical turn the church upside down. For instance, he got rid of the Sunday night worship service. He said he wanted people to start volunteering for different projects. And by the way, I've volunteered for everything they have on the form. I even volunteered for the nursery, James. Like I told them, I changed 10,000 diapers on my grandson. I like to tell him that. And my two girls, I can work with kids. I volunteered to work to teach the young children and the teeny boppers. I would love to do that. I told him what it was really dear to my heart. And that gave him, I volunteered for all their standard stuff. Then I gave him 9 things I wanted to do in the church. First and foremost, I wanted to teach a course on the Constitution, and I have this kit. James, you know about it. I ordered it from Perucca and Perucca Law Firm in Pasadena, Maryland. Michael Perucca ran for the president on the constitutionalist ticket, and he had a Southern Baptist minister, his vice president, a Charles Chuck, a.k.a. Chuck Baldwin, out of Florida, but Baldwin has left from he lives in Montana now. He was running into the same things we're running into, James. He couldn't do anything. Well, I want to teach this course. I have the kit, the DVDs, the workbooks, everything it takes to teach the course. And I also have access to a constitutional attorney here in Memphis by the name of Hal Rounds, who's volunteered to come to the church and help me out for no charge, of course. Well, I couldn't get my pastor getting back in touch with me, and that was one of the things I wanted to do. And I also said I would like to bring in, talking about milquetoast Christians and Christian soldiers, another thing I want to do, after I round that up, I want to bring in some of the buddies from Range USA. They used to sponsor this show, James, if you remember right. And they have some experts over there who are, they're certified firearms instructors. I want to bring the people into the church. These are people from Range USA, the firearms instructors. And I wanted to teach people, especially the ladies and the young ladies and the older ladies, the ladies. I wanted to teach them the safe and efficient way of handling firearms. And we have a lot of people in the church that are they're afraid of firearms. In fact, there's an old cliche that says back in the old days, in the caveman days, the old Indian days, the ancient people thought that, you know, that evil spirit dwelled in rocks and trees and certain unhallowed grounds, areas of unhallowed ground. But nowadays, a lot of people think that evil spirits inhabit, firearms. But, I wanted to get them over that fear and teach them for their own good, because it's a very violent society.
All right, so Eddie, just to recap, you're active in your church. You've worked security detail in your parking lot. You've cleaned the kitchen pots and pans. You, as a registered nurse, you volunteered to man the nursery, and he's active. Your pastor's actively calling for members to step up and take a role of leadership in the church. So you came to him with 2 things you'd like to do. For the members that are interested, it wouldn't be a mandatory thing that the church requires everyone to go to, but for the members who might be interested, you wanted to teach a Sunday school class on the Constitution, and also for those that are interested, get them firearms training. How did that go over with the leadership of your church?
In one word, it didn't, and it hadn't. But I have not given up.
What did they say?
Well, Pastor Wayne says nothing. I've cornered him, and I said, what do you think about that, Pastor Wayne? He said, well, that's a lot to think about, Brother Eddie. So and that's all he said. And so I went to the junior, our associate pastor, who's the young guy in the wings, and I told him, I said, look, man, I want to do this bad. This is very dear to my heart, Brother Shaw. Could you run interference for me with Brother Wayne? Because if you could talk him into it. He got me into another room and said, look, he said, there's no way you're crazy. He said, I mean, you must be nuts if you think I'm going to go to Pastor Wayne and tell him that. He said, that's just too radical. I said, radical? And then I told him, James, I told him what we probably said this 100 times on this show. I said, have you ever heard of the Black Regiment in the First War of Independence? It was the ministers. There were so many ministers on the front lines killing with the bayonet and the musket and being killed with the bayonet and the musket. There were so many of them that they called them the Black Regiment. And one more thing. Do you know who the British hated and feared more than anybody? It wasn't George Washington. It wasn't Patrick Henry. It was the ministers, because the ministers were whipping these people up into a patriotic fervor, and they were leading bayonet charges. And I'm telling these people that, but that's radical.
This is the reason we wanted to bring this to your attention, folks. And we're going to end the whole show tonight with my pastor giving an Easter message, but we wanted to kind of weave politics and Easter into one another this hour, because look, we're fighting a retreating battle on all fronts, in the media, with these truly radical liberals, and those people are the enemies. But how do we expect to win against them, the people who are ramrodding this antichrist message down our throats, if the leaders of our own churches believe that it is too radical to preach a course on the Constitution from Pastor David Whitney, as mainstream as they come, from a guy that worked with Michael Perutka of the Constitution Party? You can't preach his constitutional civics course in the church because that's too radical. You can't ask if anybody in the congregation is interested in receiving firearms training because that's too radical. It's too radical to do that with members who are willing, inside the privacy of a Southern Baptist church. You're not even talking, Eddie, about the church going out in the general public and talking about promoting the Constitution or Second Amendment proficiency. You're talking about doing it just with those who may be interested within your own church. And your own leadership is saying that, to teach a course of the Constitution, not on some of the things we talk about on this show, which are well and good and certainly in line with our faith, but just something as basic and as fundamental as constitutional civics and Second Amendment proficiency, your church says that too radical. The folks, you know, you are fighting from way behind when you meet that resistance from a Southern Baptist church, and add to that what you have to face on the street from the non-believers.
You know, you brought up Pastor Whitney. And I didn't even bring him up, but with the Perutka law
been
firm.
On the show,
yeah, Pastor Whitney's been on the show several times. He sure has. Pastor Whitney and Baldwin, Pastor Baldwin, are both Baptist ministers, ordained Baptist ministers. Whitney has been hired by the Perutka law firm to lead out this constitutional course. And I'm sitting here just scratching my head, James, wondering, what is wrong with these people? I mean, what is so radical about this? And I fight a losing battle against this all the time. And, you know, I've wanted to leave the church several times, and I've told my wife about this. If we're not for the people I love so much in our church, I probably would have gone and tried to, but there's no other churches you can go to. Maybe start our own church, but it is hard to start your own church, and we don't have the time. You know, we work and do other things here. But I stay there, James, to try to be a change agent as best I can, but I'm fighting a losing battle. You just cannot believe that how immovable these people are. They're just totally, the apathy is just mind-boggling. You know, and I used to love, for instance, I used to love sports. Now, they'll talk all day long about the basketball, what is it, the 64 teams, whatever, in basketball. I wouldn't walk across the street to see a basketball game. I would at one time. I used to love football, just like I used to love dogs. But they've even perverted the dogs in our society. Most of the people in our society, they put dogs above humans. You know, my wife gets tired of me talking about the rescue dogs. And here in the South, here over in Midtown in Memphis, I don't think there's a Southerner in Memphis, that part of town. It's not a rescue dog. It's a rescue dog. And they treat them like they're some kind of a god. I mean, I think they would run into a tree and kill themselves before they run over one of these rescue dogs. That's just a sign of how weak and how detached from reality people have come. I mean, I've seen my grandfather. Listen, I have a great uncle who shot a dog inside of a house. He got up on the supper table during one of the holidays. He was up there eating. My uncle didn't say a word. He goes into the bedroom. He gets a 12-gauge shotgun and blows the dog all the way off the table. And people wince at that now. But see, he liked the dog, but he realized, folks, he's not a human. He's a dog. And these people, they'll fight to the death with one of these worthless curs. They'll pay $300 to get them out of a pound someplace because they're rescue dogs. But they will not stand up for their own human rights, for their Bill of Rights. They won't stand up for it. I thought we were going to a break, folks. Be back in a few minutes.
We'll be back with my pastor, no less. And anyway, we'll good work,
right,
Eddie. Thank you, buddy.
Messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. We have saved the best for last tonight. I'm really excited to have my lifelong friend, one of my best friends, and my pastor, the only pastor I've ever known, David Rogers, back on the show with me. Can't begin to tell you what this man's meant to me in my life, in addition to leading me to the Lord and the den of my parents' home when I was 6 years old, and I still remember it as if it was yesterday. You think you can't remember something that long ago, but I remember the couch I was sitting on. I remember where Pastor was, my dad. But above and beyond that, he is buried everybody that I've ever loved that has passed away. He married my wife and I back in 2006. If ever I have needed someone to help me, whether it was running for office or just anything, he has always been there without fail. One of the best men I know in life. And he has been on the show several times as a guest, most often during the early years of the show, but perhaps most notably just last fall when he and I interviewed country music icon Ray Stevens together. And that was certainly a moment that I am proud to share with him too. Well, Pastor, with that being said, welcome back to the show.
Well, James, it's an honor always to be on the show. It's always an honor to be with you. You say all that stuff about me. It makes me feel awful old.
Well, we've been around, we share a few scars. You're certainly a little bit longer in the tooth than I, but truly, I have known you since birth, and I'm all the better for it, and I'm glad you're able to come on tonight, because, you know, Christmas is a big day in the Christian calendar, and as we've been talking about all hour, we're conservatives, we don't hide our candle under a bushel spiritually or politically, but this is a Christian show. It's a political show, but it's a Christian show. Christmas is big. We love to celebrate it. Easter's bigger. And, Pastor, I wanted you to close us out tonight with just a scriptural Easter message for the audience.
Well, James, I appreciate that so much. You're couldn't be any more correct about Easter being the biggest day in the Christian calendar. Many folks don't realize that the reason we attend church on Sunday, every Sunday of the year, is because our Lord rose from the dead on Sunday. He didn't rise on Saturday, but he rose on Sunday. And even though Christianity comes out of Judaism, the Christians met on the first day of the week instead of the last day of the week. I want to share with you from Matthew, the 28th chapter. All four of the Gospels give an account of the resurrection. But I want to share with you this. It'll be familiar to your believers, to your listeners, all those that are believers. It says, beginning there in the first verse of that 28th chapter, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from the heavens and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook and fell in fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen as he has said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he has gone before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you.'" James, our Lord's resurrection, really, when everything else is in the balance, that's really the only thing that matters. The scripture tells us if he has not risen from the dead, then we have no hope that we might rise from the dead. And at the end of life, that's all that matters. Several years ago, I went to get a physical. I was at the doctor's office, and the doctor's a good friend, been seeing him a long time. And he drew and poked and prodded all the things that they do with that. And he left the room to go over the things that he had done and read all the cartograms and whatever else all that stuff was. And I got dressed when he came back in the room. James, you know me, I can be a little bit of a smart aleck sometimes. He came back in the room and I said to him, "Well, Doc, am I going to die?" And he looked up at me over the papers he had in his hands, and he said, "Matter of fact, you are." And he didn't have any levity in his voice at all. And that took me back just a little bit. He said, "You are. I am." He said, "Every patient I ever had will." He said, "My job as a physician is to delay the inevitable." And James, death is our ultimate tragedy, our ultimate foe. It doesn't matter what country you were born in, where you've lived your life, what religion you have practiced, what church you've attended, all of those things don't matter. When you die, if you are not in right relationship with God, you're going to be dead forever. You're going to be in what the scripture describes as eternal death in hell. And the great good news for us is as we stare into the yawning chasm of the grave, there is hope there for us. And when I say hope, I don't just mean maybe so hope. The New Testament word hope means assurance. And we look into the grave, what we see is that the grave has been conquered. It's been defeated. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthians there, and in that 15th chapter, and toward the end of that chapter, he says, read this in Romans 15:51, he said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when corruption is put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" James, we can be triumphant in life. Not because we're perfect. Heaven knows. You know me. And you had a lot of nice things to say about me, but you know I'm far from perfect. And I know you.
Well, we better just stop it right there, Pastor.
That's all we need. We know we are not perfect people. The person that has to tell me about how spiritual you are, I kind of wonder about that. I know that on my best day, I've not been spiritual enough to get into heaven. The only thing that gets me into heaven is the blood that Christ shed on Calvary and his victory over death and hell and the grave. And because that morning, that angel said to those ladies, "He's not here. He's risen." And then he said, "You go tell folks." I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing that any of us can ever hope for or ever tell. And tomorrow is a great day of celebration. I have a little cross in my front yard, a little white cross in my front yard. I bought several years. I bring it out every Easter season, and I put it up right after Lent. And it's just a white cross. But tomorrow morning, before I go to church, I'll go outside. I may go ahead and do this tonight before I go to bed. I'll go outside and take that cross and turn it around, and on the back side it has written in bold letters, which will become the front side when I turn around, has bold letters, "He is risen from the dead." James, no political victory, no Super Bowl, no battle won, no war put to rest can compare with the good news that a Savior has come, and he has defeated our greatest foe. And if we will surrender our lives to him, and I'm not talking about practice some religion that somebody put together, denomination, all that stuff is not what it's about. What it's about is an intimate, personal relationship with the maker, the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he's risen, the Bible describes him as the first fruits from the dead. You know, when you plant a tomato plant, you look forward to that first tomato. But the good thing about that first tomato is that once the first one comes, you're planning on many more to follow. And we are the ones who follow his resurrection. What a great day it'll be tomorrow as we celebrate our Lord's victory.
Pastor, this truly has been the highlight of the show. I knew your timing. And we're right up at the tail end of it now, but I want to thank you so much for delivering that message. As I said earlier, it was on my heart that we worked that into the show tonight at Easter. My only fault was having you on for a single segment rather than a single hour. We have only seconds remaining, folks. I know Pastor, my co-host, Eddie Miller, who's in studio with me tonight, wants to say a quick word to me, and we really only have a few seconds, Eddie.
Pastor Rogers, I can tell you wholeheartedly, this has been the best part of the whole show. You made my day. I became a Christian 2 months before my 62nd birthday on February the 8th of 2009, and chills were going up my spine, Pastor, when you did your program. God bless you, man. I'll turn you back over to James because we're just about out of time, Pastor. But God bless you. You have made my day, Pastor.
God bless you guys. It's not me. It's God. It's all about him. It's not about me.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for coming on, and we're going to do this far more often. Eddie was writing me a note during your talk saying, let's do this more often with this guy. Hey, Pastor, love you, brother, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bud. You take care.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye. That's it for Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Keith Alexander, the rest of the crew here. I'm James Edwards. Happy Easter, everybody. We'll see you next week.